very common for Bible scholars to think Jesus was born in midwinter. True, we don't know, December 25th, which the Catholics picked, or January 6th, which the Greek Orthodox picked, but somewhere in midwinter is good. They usually do this because of thinking of the Passover lambs. And thinking of the Passover lambs in the spring, probably born in midwinter, that's one of the thoughts. Another one of the thoughts will be more directly to our sermon is the idea of light coming into the world and the change of light. It has, even now, kept getting darker and darker and darker. And we have another day or two. It's December, it's Tuesday, December 21st, when it starts to switch. And we're down to 9 hours and X number of minutes of light, and the rest of it is dark. The good in the northern hemisphere is darker and darker and darker. Now, we know it's going to change, but think about it if it didn't. All dead. Darker and colder, and no more crops, and you know, you go to 9 hours of darkness and then less and less, and we'd all be dead if it didn't change. But it always does change. The Christmas narratives are in Joseph's perspective in Matthew and Mary's perspective in Luke, but very often in the Gospel of John, it is the pre-existent Word of God, light coming into a dark world. We're going to give some thoughts today as to what is the Bible's description of light. In contrast, what is the Bible's description of darkness? In advance of the Christmas message, there were all kinds of messianic prophecies that did have the idea of light in it. In Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But just before that, verse 6, we have up in Isaiah 9, 1, no more gloom for Galilee of the Gentiles. In Isaiah 9, 6, the people walking in darkness shall have a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, light will shine. So even the messianic prophecies have a little bit of when Jesus comes, it will be into the darkness, and light will come, and a big turnaround. Messianic prophecy, also in Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. Darkness covered the earth, and darkness, thick darkness, the people. But the Lord has risen upon you, and his glory appears over you. So those are messianic prophecies in Isaiah 9 and 60. In the Christmas narrative itself, both before and after, there are references to Jesus coming as light. John the Baptist's father, his name was Zacharias. Luke 1:79, the rising star or the day spring will come from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and shine in those sharing in death. So that's a little bit before Luke 2. And then after Luke 2, they take the baby Jesus into Jerusalem, and the older Simeon says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles, glory for the people of Israel. So messianic prophecy, light is coming. References before the Christmas story, Luke 1:79, light is shining. After Jesus' birth narrative, he is bringing light. The Gospel of John, if anything, has more light in it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. But we have John 1:5, the light shone in the darkness. I mean, according to John the Baptist, the true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. And Jesus said himself of John 1:18, I am the light of the world. So with that thought, I would like to contrast light and darkness. And we'll look up some Bible verses. We may not look up all of the Bible verses, but catching the Bible's own definition is important. Number one, God is light, Satan is darkness. Number two, the Word of God, the Bible, is light. No Word of God, no information, is darkness. Number three, light is life, darkness is death. We who believe in Jesus as Savior have life. Those who reject Jesus as Savior have death or darkness. Number four, joy is light, gloom is darkness. So it ends up being emotional also. Number five, purity is light, filth is darkness. Number six, we who believe are lights. We're all lights. Unbelievers are dark. They don't have any light. And finally, heaven is light, hell is darkness. So let's see how it goes, and we won't be able to look at all of the contrast, but come with me to 1 John chapter 1, please. Now, we will look at 1 John 1:5, and God is light, and Satan is darkness. We'll just quote that second one, but God himself is light. 1 John 1:5, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So the Apostle John stressed this in the Gospel of John chapter 1. He's stressing it again here in 1 John chapter 1. I'll quote the contrast. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. Everybody in this world can be divided on the two sides. God is light, Satan is darkness. Now, that ought to scare people. That is the biblical truth. God is light, Satan is darkness. Constant battle all the way through time. I have a weird illustration of pitch darkness. I don't think we are used to pitch darkness anymore. We have so many electric lights and so many car lights, and houses always have televisions, and we're not used to pitch darkness. But growing up in the country, I got in the dark once in a while. And the weirdest one was at a Christmas time, and you have to be young and try. I said to everybody in that church in Pennsylvania, give me your unsaved relatives that you want me to go witness to. So I got a list of all these unbelievers, and I called them to let them know, hey, I'd like to come over to your house and talk with you and invite you to the church for Christmas. So I had called this house, and I get out in the middle of nowhere, and they shut all the lights off after I get out of the car. So I'm like, I don't even know where the car is anymore. I'm just out here. And then they let the dogs out. And I don't know what kind of dogs these are, but we don't have pitch darkness anymore in town. Then they knew. Get out of the middle of nowhere, darkness. And obviously I'm still alive and didn't get too many dog bites because I'm here. And somehow kept, where is that car? And got the keys out and didn't have switches back then. Have to find out where it goes. Got back in, got out of there. But then I thought, you know, my family's in the dark. I was in the dark for a little while, but their family is in the dark. So God is light. Satan is dark. Closely related is the Word of God is light. And when there is no word of God, it is dark. Now, you'll know this, but either turn, I'll read for us Psalm 119. You know, we about have all that memorized. I'm going to read more than one, but Psalm 119, 105, that's the main one that we know. And then I'll read 130. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Now, where do we go without the danger? Follow the Bible. And Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of thy words give light, gives understanding to the simple. So number one, God is light, Satan is darkness. Number two, the word of God is light, and absence of the word of God is darkness. Now, without the word of God, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. So if a person does not have the word of God, they're walking around in the darkness. In youth, I read William Durant's book on philosophy. I'm sure that's long lost, but I thought it was really good. And I have about 10 of his books and don't have time to read them, but he had the philosophers. And he had in there Plato. And Plato said he was searching for truth, but it was like going out on a river in the dark. Well, yeah, leave the Bible out. I think the Bible tells us not completely without some truth, because the Bible says that in Romans chapter 1, that we can see from creation his eternal power and his divine nature. And we can see just by looking around, even without the Bible, there is good and there is bad. And again, sometimes people say it's only society, but if you have wrong done to you, they complain about it. So they seem to know what's bad when bad is done to them. So a little bit of truth, there is a creator, there is a good, there is a bad, but it's still kind of dark without a Bible. It's still kind of, don't know enough about the Bible, and Paul said on Mars Hill they should go look and go search for truth. Since that what they be known of God is evident to them, because God has made it plain to them. So they are without excuse and can search for truth, but know full truth without the Bible. Very, very limited. So maybe not a raft in a pitch black river, but a raft in a very dark river. And can't find the way fully. God is light, Satan is darkness. The word of God is light, without the word of God, dark. Some answers, but not enough. And not enough facts without the word of God. Salvation is light, although in this third one I want to stress the most is darkness in the Bible is death. So let me go ahead and go to John 1. I have referred to John 1. Might take a second to get there, so maybe you could have also, but we will look at John 1:4, the relationship between light and life. John 1:4 is short. In him was life. And life was the light of men. So God is light, Satan is darkness, word of God is light, absence is darkness, and light is life, darkness is death. Well, all the unbelievers around us, they are biologically alive. They move around and breathe. They're biologically alive. But you see, the definition of death in the Bible is separation. physical death, the soul separates from the body and the person separates from us. But spiritual death means separation from God. So even though an unsaved person is alive, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It says they were born in trespasses and sin. So before we trust in Jesus as Savior, we are in darkness and we are dead. Paul was giving his defense before the Jewish King Agrippa. He said he saw the light of Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he was called to bring people out of darkness into forgiveness. So light is life, darkness is death. Very scary, but that's true. If a person has not trusted in Jesus as Savior, they're not just going to die. The person is separated from God already. And darkness is death. Now we'll go in an emotional sense. Light is shining. Light means a person should shine emotionally. Come and read 1 Peter 2. And I actually remember singing in a choir, and we sang 1 Peter 2 over and over again. Now, I'm bad at singing if I'm by myself. If I'm standing right next to a few people that are very good, I can sort of pass. I do remember singing the words of 1 Peter 2:9 in an older Christian concert. And it's talking about being called out of the darkness into light so that we can show forth, give the excellencies of his praises. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, we have light in the sense that we are alive. Unsaved people are dead, but light also means a little shining. You have a little bit of praise and blessing and shining here. Earlier I quoted Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. There'll be another one. We who have trusted Jesus as Savior have light in the sense of life, and we should have light in the sense of somewhere in there is shining. Can be a sad day. You know, we can talk about national tragedies. We do, unfortunately, have funerals from time to time, so we can have a sad day, but somewhere in there ought to be shining. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about reflections. Moses in the presence of God reflected the glory of God and had to put a mask over his face. We in the presence of God are supposed to reflect the presence of God. And so being in the light means being alive, but being in the light means shining once in a while. So we're supposed to feel like it, say those things, act like it. So we have acting like we're in the light means shining. Well, it also means behavior. And let's look at Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. And this will be the deeds of darkness and the deeds of light. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And if we want to do darkness, we go down to verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. So light is life, and light is emotionally shining some of the time. And light here is behavior, both in the sense of the opposite of the stain, and also Paul honestly thought people behave better when they're out. People can see them. They behave better in the daytime. That a lot of the crimes and evil sins are sneaking around after the darkness. So sometimes in the Bible, light is purity and darkness is a stain, and it's talking about clothing. Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's one way of saying it, is without Christ, even though some behavior is relatively righteous, it is all stains. That's their way of saying darkness. So sometimes light is purity in the sense of what a person wears. That's the illustration. And darkness is a stain. Other times they talk about it's daytime and nighttime. And in daytime, where everybody can see each other, people behave better. It's at nighttime where they think that they're all alone and no one's watching that they behave worse. So light is purity. Darkness is stains. I will quote the next one because it sort of already relates, but we're all light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven, or glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's also Philippians 2:15-16 where it says to hold forth the word of life, kind of like a torch. Hold forth the word of life, because we're walking in a crooked and perverse generation. So we are light. We are light, and all unbelievers are total darkness. This is a bit on the mystical side, but I kind of wonder it. I kind of wonder if demons can't pick out believers from unbelievers by looking at them. I sort of think that, but I don't know that, but I sort of think that. You have in all this medieval art that have all the halos around the Christians, some sort of light. I never thought about this till I went to Turkey in a Muslim country. And I was sitting in a restaurant, and this person was absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. Just scared. And I asked Ken Weiss, who's coming in January, by the way. I asked Ken Weiss, talk to him and ask him what his problem is. And he says, you are a Christian, and he's afraid of you. Don't know that for sure, but the Bible does teach we're all lights. We're all lights, and unbelievers are darkness. Getting near the end, I'd like to look at the heavenly city, which is light, before we review them all. Please come with me to the close of the Bible in Revelation 21. Look at Revelation 21:23, then another one in 22:5. Revelation 21:23, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb, and the nations shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And verse 25, in the daytime there shall be no night there. And then just the first part of the final chapter of the Bible in verse 5, Revelation 22:5, and there shall no longer be any night. I don't need to look up the contrast, but it's full of outer darkness. Jesus said that they will go into outer darkness. I think God might be, in a limited sense, present in Hades because he sees it and knows what goes on. But the presence of God in the Bible is like deeper presence, deeper presence, deeper presence, least amount of presence in punishment. And full darkness means God is absent. I mean, as well as the flames, but God is absent. And the future in punishment will be outer darkness. God is absent. By contrast, the heavenly city is described as light. God is present. God glows. The Son of God glows. There won't need to be a sun or moon. There won't need to be a lamp. God will be the light of the heavenly city. So the Old Testament predicted the Messiah's coming and the Messiah's birth would be like light coming into the world. And just before and after the Christmas narrative in Luke chapter 2, just before and after, Jesus' coming is light, as well as the Gospel of John. Here are the comparisons again. God is light. Satan is darkness. God's Word is light. Without the Bible is darkness. Light is life. Darkness is death. A light is emotional shining. Darkness is gloom. Light is purity. Darkness is filth. Believers, you and I, assuming we've trusted in Jesus as Savior, we are light. Unbelievers are darkness. The heavenly city is light. Hell is outer darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ promised and the Lord Jesus Christ brought light. So in the seasons, up until now, it's gotten darker and darker and darker. And this week, it will turn around and start to get lighter and lighter and lighter. And in Jesus' birth, the world was totally dark. And Jesus brought light. Pray together, and then the musicians will come.